Well, friends, the big event is tomorrow night when the finalists in the country's most famous amateur radio show will compete for the Original Amateur Hour's first annual scholarship worth $2,000 and a gold trophy. Qualified finalists are artists who have appeared on 3 Original Amateur Hour programs and who on 3 separate occasions have been voted the best performers. If they follow in the footsteps of other Amateur Hour graduates, we'll be hearing from them in the movies, in radio, and television in the near future. Yes, and Ted Mack, your famous host, will be in charge of the big Original Amateur Hour, which you'll hear on ABC tomorrow night. Don't miss it.
The Cliché Club, where you have new fun with old sayings, is now in session. And wielding the gavel over tonight's transcribed, unrehearsed, and ad-lib game time is ABC's man about radio, club president, Walter Kiernan.
Thank you, recording secretary Les Griffith, and welcome friends and members to another meeting of the Cliché Club. The chair recognizes, even without glasses, Miss Agnes Rogers, who's taken time out from her typewriter, or do you prefer the quill pen?
Right. Walter, my words are so important. They're carved in stone.
Carved in stone. The hammer and chisel.
Hammer and chisel.
I like the quill, but I never knew what to do with the chicken. Carolyn Gilmer, associate editor of the Reader's Digest, condenses books. How is the condensed book business tonight?
Well, the small things are still coming in good packages, if I may plug the Reader's Digest.
Small things in good packages. Very
yes.
Good. I'm going to write a book that will evaporate. Newspaper man Ed Hill of Cliché Counterintelligence. Mr. Hill...
Did you say counterintelligence, Mr. Kiernan?
Yes.
I know that one.
What?
It's a smart short order cook.
Oh, now you started already, and we haven't even begun yet. And our special guest tonight is author, editor, and publisher, Bennett Cerf. Mr. Cerf, you've heard on many programs, I'm sure, and seen on television. In fact, the last time I saw Mr. Cerf was on television. With Faye Emerson. You were wearing a low-cut vest.
You won't believe this, Walter, but one of my partners is so nearsighted, he couldn't tell the difference between Miss Emerson and me.
Oh, he is nearsighted. That boy is nearsighted. Well, here's how we play the cliché game, Mr. Cerf and audience. I tell stories sent in by our listening friends, and each story are clues to hidden clichés, old hat expressions, familiar phrases, old saws, proverbs, which you and our 3 members are to guess within 2 minutes after the story has been told. Now, let's get at it, but first here is our recording secretary, who has a word for our listening friends. Do you not, Mr. Griffith?
Yes, I do, Mr. President. Friends, if we use your story, you'll receive the latest and most complete Rand McNally Cosmopolitan World Atlas. And if Mr. Cerf and our members don't uncover your cliché, you'll be awarded an attractive and handsome Whitnor watch, a distinguished member of the Longines Whitnor family of fine watches.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Now, Mr. Cerf and members, unclasp the cliché in this story, sent in by Miss Eva Paskoski of Somerset, Massachusetts. It's a slang expression. Our recording secretary will tell the audience the answer in advance, just to give our new listeners an idea of how the game works. After that, you're on your own. Our members, of course, do not know this answer, but here is our recording secretary to tell it to you.
The cliché in the first story is passing the buck. That's the cliché, passing the buck.
It's a slang expression. A well-dressed man spotted a piece of United States currency lying on the sidewalk near a store entrance. Since a couple of persons were standing nearby, he walked on. He soon turned back, though, and when he came close to the bill, he could see Washington's picture on it, but he also saw several women coming out of the store. He didn't feel the money was worth lowering his dignity for, so he passed it by and went on... Miss Gilmer?
Passing the buck.
Passing the buck. Mr. Hill?
I was going to say, by George.
By George, very good. That would have been as good, at least, as the original. By George.
Well, by George, that wins for Miss Eva Paskoski of Somerset, Massachusetts, a Rand McNally World Atlas.
Very good, very good. Mr. Hill, I would have accepted that answer, I think, although it wasn't... Did any one of you ever find any money, by the way?
Never.
A buck or
upwards? In my life.
I found a $10 bill on Lexington Avenue about the first week I was in New York. I thought this was a wonderful city.
Where'd you say you found it? On Lexington Avenue?
Lexington.
That's why I lost it.
Oh, no, 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 no. You weren't passing there that night, Dennis. I was afraid of that. Well, remember, listening friends, from now on, we do not tell you the answers in advance. Let's see if you can spot the clues to the clichés hidden in the stories. Start with this cliché story offered by Mr. Elmer L. Goldman of St. Louis, Missouri. Cliché was originally a Western colloquialism, but I would say it's used everywhere now. Four cowboy stars, Gene Autry, Hopalong Cassidy, Roy Rogers, and Bill Elliott, competed in a special contest to see who could mount his horse the fastest. Roy Rogers won every time. Miss Rogers?
Quick on the trigger.
Quick on the trigger.
Oh, boy, she would have been dead-eyed Dick in the Old West, wouldn't she? For that cliché story, Quick on the Trigger, a Rand McNally World Atlas, goes to Mr. Elmer L. Goldman of St. Louis, Missouri.
I think you're related to Mr. Rogers, Miss Rogers.
I'd like to claim it.
You'd like to? Or the horse, at least.
Oh, that would be good.
Quick, Miss Rogers, for two silver nitrates, what is the name of Hopalong Cassidy's wife?
Oh.
Mrs. Hopalong Cassidy, thank you very much. This next one comes to us from Miss Mary Coburn of New York City. It is a familiar comment. Miss Coburn wants us to know about this storekeeper who has decided to do all he can to stimulate good cheer in the world. And so every once in a while, he has a laugh day sale in his store. The idea is that he gives away merchandise to his customers according to what he calls their laugh score. Mr. Hill?
Anything for a laugh.
Anything for a laugh. Good.
Oh,
thank you. Well, we've had three stories down the hatch so far. How about that, Mr. Griffith?
Anything for a laugh is a good idea any time Miss Coburn gets a Rand McNally World Atlas.
She sure does. And our third story. Let me see now. Keep your chins up and face the future clichés, I'm afraid. For instance, see what you can do with this one sent in by Mrs. William F. Bland of Bay Village, Ohio. It's an old saw. It also might be considered a slogan, but we'll call it an old saw. I think you'd better let me get through to the end of this. It looks like that kind of story to me. A fight promoter who was not doing too well got the bright idea to arrange a match between a male and a female wrestler. There was a great deal of excitement about the battle, even though at match time, the odds were 10-1 in favor of the male wrestler. Most of the crowd came because of the novelty of the contest, and in the first few minutes, the man appeared very confident, as did all his supporters. Smart money was making the odds 12 and even 15-1 against the female. But before you could say, Carrie Chapman Cat, the lady grappler came through with a flying mare, a few body slams, pinned the man on the mat, became the winner of the first formally promoted man-woman fight in history. Was the audience amazed? Miss Rogers?
A battle of the sexes. Just a start by way of a starter.
Miss Gilmer?
I would say it was never underestimate the power of a woman.
Never underestimate the power of a woman? Well, you're right. We should get a royalty from the Ladies' Home Journal for that one. Never underestimate the power of a woman.
And the Rand McNally World Atlas goes to Mrs. William F. Bland for the cliché story, Never Underestimate the Power of a Woman.
Mr. Hill, I know you were hopeless on that, but you have your hand up.
Yes, well, I was going to say one good turn deserves another, which has nothing to do with what I want to say now. On behalf of Mr. Cerf and the members of our panel, I think we ought to let the audience know tonight that you're sort of a double president here, I understand. So, I wish you'd explain a little more to people just what you've become.
Oh, Ed, and I'm so bashful. You're talking about the Circus Saints?
The Circus Saints and Sinners,
yeah.
That's right.
Well, last week I was elected president of the Circus Saints and Sinners Club, which is a rather famous luncheon club in New York. In fact, I think it's the largest luncheon club in New York.
And we all know which category you belong in, Walter.
Thank you very much,
yes,
Miss
Gilmer.
We
really do.
Yes.
Which is it?
We even know your theme song now, Mr. Kiernan.
What, Mr. Hill?
Half of you wants to be bad and half of you wants to be
good. Oh, no.
No.
Walter, you heard the theme song, didn't you, of Samson and Delilah?
No.
I'm going to wash that hair right out of my man.
Oh, come on. Don't stop there, Mr. Cerf. Give us another one of those quickies from those marvelous collections that you make. You got another one on tap?
Well, listening to all the puns that are flying around me, I can only think of the fellow that I knew out in Little Rock whose name was Kissinger. Do you know about him?
No.
He didn't like the name of Kissinger, so he changed his name to O'Brien. And a few weeks later, he got tired of O'Brien, changed his name to Clancy. And he got tired of Clancy and changed his name to Brown. And by this time, all his friends, very puzzled, were going around saying, I wonder who's kissing her now.
Bennett, is that in Anything for a Laugh, your last collection, or is in this next one coming?
I don't even remember, Walter.
Don't remember. Perhaps you haven't used it yet, in which case I will. I'll start my own book. Well, now the next story comes to us from Mr. David Deutsch of Brooklyn. This one is a mite tricky, members. It's an often used saying and has been used as a title now and again, an often used saying. Mr. Deitch tells about a letter carrier who met a girl on his appointed rounds and proposed to her. She accepted, so the mailman bought an engagement ring and slipped it on her finger. Not many deliveries later, the letter carrier fell for another girl on his appointed rounds. Naturally, he bought... Oh, all the hands are up. Mr. Sir.
Well, that sounds like a postman always rings twice.
Right.
Oh, no.
To Mr. David Deutsch of Brooklyn, Walter, for the cliché story, The Postman Always Rings Twice, we will mail a Rand McNally World Atlas.
That was a pre-June cliché, by the way. He's only been ringing once since the first of the month, I think. But I understand he's going to ring twice again. Well, let me see now... Let's have the next story, which is based... Oh, say, by the way, Les, how about that reminder to our listeners?
Yes, before you go on, I'd like to remind our listeners to keep sending us their stories, Walter. You're doing fine so far, friends, and keep it up. And two, don't forget, send us as many stories as you wish. And don't worry if you've got one on a cliché we've already used. Send it along anyway. Our motto is, once a cliché, always a cliché. Now, once more, President Kiernan.
To the end, a cliché-er. All right, on with the next story, which is based on a slang expression offered to us by Mrs. Clarice Fontaine of White Plains, New York. It's a slang expression. Mrs. Fontaine knows a woman who had two weaknesses. First of all, she was terribly vain and spent hours on her makeup. In the second place, tears came too easily. She laughed until she cried if anything funny was said, burst into tears if anything sad was mentioned. Consequently, in order to keep her makeup intact, she always sat quietly on the sidelines at parties. Miss Rogers?
To keep the powder dry.
To keep her powder dry.
To Mrs. Clarice Fontaine of White Plains, New York, for that cliché story, she keeps her powder dry, we send a Rand McNally World Atlas.
Nicely captured by Miss Rogers, owner of Superdog. That is a dog you have.
Superdog said goodbye this evening, wanted to come.
Did he really?
Yes.
You should see this mop that Miss Rogers...
Monster!
Is it a breed?
Its father was a breed.
Was it? First time I saw it, I thought someone had dropped a wig in your living room. Well, on to the next story with this hidden cliché, which Mr. Cerf and you club members are asked to uncover, sent to us by Mrs. Walter Cattulia of Chicago, Illinois. It is somewhat of a complaint. And since I'm asked to do an accent on this story, I hope you don't use this complaint on me. I tried one with Merle Miller on last week, and he slaughtered me on it. Said I didn't talk real Iowa. And he was right, you know. Well, this is a story of little Janne Jansson, who lived on... This is Swedish, by the way. This is my Swedish accent.
We could tell, Walter.
You could tell.
Yes.
Thank you, Miss Rogers.
But we won't.
We won't. This is a story of little Janne Jansson, who lived on farm. One summer day in June, little Janne Jansson found his pet hen had laid an egg. Yumping yiminy, little Janne Jansson yelled, if that don't beat the yutch, I must show Mama and Papa. He whooped up and ran, but was so excited, he tripped and fell and broke the egg. Not to... Miss Gilmer?
It sounds like the wise habit so far.
The wise habit?
Everything starts with Y.
That's right.
Or
not discouraged.
He'd be jaywalking.
That's true.
Jaywalking.
As though he just got out of Yale.
Mr. Serb, go back to Yale for a moment. Not discouraged, he picked up insides of egg and carried it all the way into the house. Mama and Papa, who were not so happy as little Janne Jansson about what he did. Mr. Rogers?
Big yolk.
The insides of the egg.
Carried it all the way into the house. You're fairly close.
That's a yolk, son.
That's a yolk, son.
Well, the yoke was on him.
The yoke was on him. You're all on the right track, but he took that egg out in the farmyard and carried it all the way in the house, and he carried the yoke too far.
Oh.
Groan. Groan.
Yacht's too
groan.
Bad.
Oh.
Griffith?
And to Mrs. Walter Cachula of Chicago, Illinois, for that cliche story, that's carrying a yoke too far, which the members didn't guess within the time limit, we're sending a Rand McNally World Atlas and a beautiful Whitnor watch. Congratulations, Mrs. Cachula.
Yes, and we could have used Yedgar Bergen on that one, too, to help us, I think.
Oh, we've got a cliche story sent in by Mrs. A. Farber of Flushing, Long Island. It is an often used explanation, mostly by men, I would say. A man alone in his office near the end of the day was the victim of a hold-up man, or hold-up men. But Hill.
I'm held up at the office.
No, but that is so good that I'd be willing to set foot on the first line. But however, that would not be Mrs. Farber's cliche as submitted. But you stay with that. Ed, he's going to try again?
I'm tied up at the office.
Tied up at the office. That's it, yes.
Oh, they're going tonight. And to Mrs. A. Farber of Flushing, Long Island, for that cliche story, tied up at the office, will receive a Rand McNally World Atlas.
Oh, Ed, you were so good on that. You leaped
one
in.
Thing followed another there. Pretty naturally.
Held up in the office. Held up in the office. Tied up in the office. Wonderful.
Incidentally, listening friends, if you live in and around New York City, or if you're planning to visit New York, you'd like to come up to one of our radio meetings, just let us know. Now let's on to our next story, which is a familiar phrase was sent in by Mrs. Alfred Dodd of Thawville, Illinois. It's a familiar phrase. Mrs. Dodd said she attended a convention recently. She felt very sorry for one speaker at an evening session. As soon as he started his talk, it sounded familiar to everyone in the audience, and it had good reason to be. It was the same speech given in the afternoon session. Mrs. Dodd says the speaker sensed the unrest in his audience. He tried talking louder, tried talking more slowly, he tried talking faster. Nothing helped him. His audience didn't feel like listening to the same speech a second time. Miss Rogers?
Well, it wouldn't be twice told tales.
It was, but that's not the cliche involved.
It wouldn't be a repeat performance.
No, it was, but it's not the cliche.
Double or nothing?
You're so close.
Double talk.
Double talk. Everybody got that one, I think.
Thank you so much, Mr. That's known as the build-up.
Mrs. Alfred Dodd of Thawville, Illinois, gets a Rand McNally World Atlas for the cliche story, Double Talk.
Double Talk. Double Talk. I thought it was going to be Double Day for a moment, Mr. Sir.
Horrible thought.
Horrible thought, isn't it?
It's just a random thought.
Oh, no. All right, now we're up.
Keep harping on the same thing.
That was one on the house.
Yes. What's new in the book world, Mr. Sir? What is Random House pushing at the moment?
Oh, well, we're just about to bring out a new novel by Robert Penn Warren, the man who wrote All the King's Men.
Oh, yes.
Called World Enough and Time. Mm-hmm. We think it's wonderful.
Good. Very good. When will that be out?
About 10 days from now.
About 10 days. Price?
Price, $3.50 at all bookstores.
At all.
I hope.
You hope. All right, the next story comes to us from Mr. Cecil N. Rawlings of Long Beach, Long Island. The cliche is an old hat saying, usually used in a joke. An old joke. An English lord... What?
Laugh, I thought I'd die.
Before I get my mouth open, Ed. You know, I'll tell you something, Ed. This will be a great compliment to you. I had a letter from a lady this week who said, I was thinking of writing a cliche into your program, but that Ed Hill is so good... I thought he would have the answer before I finished writing the letter.
That's
he
very
would
sweet
too.
Of you, Mr.
He would too.
I think so.
Miss Gilmer, did you have a thought before I got a bark to you?
When you said an old joke, why I was going... The first old joke I think of. Only I want to hear some of the story.
All right. An English lord and his lady were staying at the same hotel as an American traveler and his wife. And it happened that the English lady and the American woman looked somewhat alike. Miss Gilmer?
I still want to say the same thing. Yeah.
Well,
that was no lady. That was my wife.
That was no lady. That's my wife. That's good enough. That was the old joke. You know, I killed it when I said old joke because that's the oldest in history, I think.
Well, the other one would be to get to the other side.
Get to the other side.
I started to guess that.
You can have a lot of twists on that, you know, like the musician who was walking along the street. And somebody said, "Who was that lady I saw you with last night?" And he said, "That was no lady, that was my fife." I have even worse than that, Walter.
Which is the older, the crossing the road or that was no lady, that's my wife? Would you know?
I think you'd have to ask Winchell. He's the one who knows when these stories
die. You
think
he'd be able to identify the age on it? Well, that was no lady. That was a short story. Miss Gilmer?
Well, no, I was just going to say that one of my favorite jokes that I like to think of as sort of a new twist on the to get to the other side, and this is a Chicago joke, and I think people are listening in Chicago, and that is, why does the duck cross Michigan Avenue?
Oh, no. Fun. That's the Chicago variation.
Yes. Right. To get to the Drake.
Thank you and good night. What? Now, Mr. Cerf, in this next story. Oh, that's wonderful.
Well, I'd like to send Rand McNally, World
Atlas. Oh, yes, let's do that.
Cecil N. Rawlings first of Long Beach, Long Island. Now you can go on with it.
Oh, we wouldn't keep a Rand McNally Atlas from it for the world. Now, Mr. Cerf, in this next story, you and the members do not give your cliche answer until I've finished telling all of the story. This is our Don't Stop Me If You've Heard This. It was sent to us by Mrs. D. Saborito of New York City. It is a descriptive phrase. And on this one, we call on the aid of Keene Crockett, all-American sound man. Take it away, Keene Crockett. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're in the bowling alleys where the World Singles Bowling Championship title is at stake. There's a big crowd here. The tensity has been getting tenser. To win the title, the popular favorite of the crowd needs a strike on this ball. He steps up to take his position. He crouches, he runs, he lets go of the ball. It looks good. Nine pins are down, but the number seven pin is still up. It's rocking, it's teetering on its edge. Four hands. Chorus.
You could hear
a pin drop.
You could hear a pin drop.
And to Mrs. D. Saborito of New York City for that cliche story, so quiet you could hear a pin drop, goes a Rand McNally World Atlas.
Oh, we're so quiet there, you could hear the Atlas drop. Mr. Hill, what?
You fooled me again that time. I think I'm going to keep quiet until you finish stories from now on.
What did you have up
there? Well, when you got to the point where he'd knocked down nine pins, I thought I had the answer, something to spare.
You know, excellent. If we hadn't gotten that, you could have said the pin was mightier than the board.
Oh, no.
Yes, we could have.
Let's not, though.
I wanted to have something about not sparing the horses. I was hoping there was going to be a little Belmont Park in there, too, as well as bowling.
Say, that's a good idea. There's a new sports enterprise, a combination of Belmont Park and bowling alley. If they don't come in first, you bowl them in.
Oh. Yes, you can take off your coat to bowl and then lose your shirt playing the horses.
Excellent idea. Well, Mr. Cerf and members, you did write fine on the stories tonight, but before we throw some short takes your way, our recording secretary seems eager for a word.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. I am eager. I'd like to remind our listeners to send in their cliché stories, together with the answers, to the Cliché Club, American Broadcasting Company, New York 20, New York. The Cliché Club, American Broadcasting Company, New York 20, New York. All contributions become the exclusive property of the Cliché Club, and we reserve the right to edit or alter them to suit the requirements of these meetings. Please limit your contributions to 200 words or less, and send us as many stories as you wish. Remember, all stories used on the Cliché Club are entirely fictitious, as you might guess, and the decisions of our judges are final.
They're fictitious.
Now, if your story is used at our meetings, you will receive the newest and most complete Rand McNally Cosmopolitan World Atlas. If your contribution is not guessed, you will be awarded a truly fine Whitnor watch, made and guaranteed by the Longines Whitnor Watch Company since 1866, maker of watches of the highest character. And once again, here is President Walter Kiernan.
Yeah, I better get that record straight. The stories are fictitious, but the judges are very genuine. And now for our and don't think they aren't tough, too. Now for our condensed cliché stories, we call these short takes. One sentence, one guess, 30-second time limit. And by the way, if we use your short takes, whether they are guessed or not,
you will receive one of the new sensational Evans automatic lighters. From Mr. Don Bishop of New York City, a slang exclamation. Fellow who would do absolutely anything to be on radio, a real fanatic. Do absolutely anything to be on radio.
Would you repeat that, please?
Slang exclamation. He would do absolutely anything to be on radio, a real fanatic.
They gave him the air.
No, Mr. Hill?
He was a fresh air fiend.
Fresh air, free air fiend. There was more of... No.
For the love of Mike.
For the love of Mike.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful.
Excellent, Mr. Serp. Mr. David Deutsch, who sent us the postman always rings twice, rings again with this one. A short take, a slang term. He's holding a book over his head called Oliver Twist. Not his head is called. The book is called Oliver Twist.
Gave him the Dickens.
Hmm?
Not going to the... Oh, the Dickens. Nothing like that.
Holding a book over his head called Oliver Twist.
This is an awful silence, Miss Rogers. Why don't you go on with what you were going to say?
This is the very Dickens.
Yes, it is.
You don't...
Raising the Dickens.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. That's what it says right here in front of me. Don't say it.
Well, he had already raised if it was open.
That was a toughie. The postman would have done well to ring once that time. A new Evans automatic lighter to Helen R. Knowles of New York City for her short take, which is a descriptive phrase. The hammering was done by the peasant.
Only 30 seconds for this one, too?
Hmm. Oh, the pounding surf.
Of course.
Mr. Hey,
and there was surf pounding and not getting anywhere.
Is the pounding surf allowed to throw one at the board?
Why, of course.
One of these quick ones?
Sure, go ahead. This will be good.
Well, this came to me while I was listening to the ball game this afternoon. A policeman is on Dock 1, and the manager of the Giants is on Dock 44.
Dock 1?
Yes, Dock 1 at the Hudson River.
Dock 1.
I think I have that, Mr. Surf. It's a long slip from cup to lip.
Well, that's There's not quite it, but that's it. There's many a slip twixt cup and lip.
Oh, very good.
I certainly stepped all over that. I should have handed it back to Mr. Sir.
Why don't you throw one right back now, Mr. Hill?
No, I'm through for the night now. I retire in complete confusion.
Do you have another one in mind, Bennett?
I'm stunned by the speed of this committee here.
Of the operation, huh? You know, he's collecting tonight. He's not giving. He's collecting. Careful, everyone. All right, now, from Miss Mabel Butoff of Washington, Connecticut, an all-too-common suggestion. Patrick Henry said... We'll get the president to handle that. Patrick Henry.
Oh,
Miss Gilbert.
Let George do it.
Of course. She punctuates with a slight whoop before she... From Miss Florence C. Donahue of Manchester, Connecticut, an old hat expression. A pilot flying through a heavy fog landed in a pecan grove. Mr. Sir?
Soup to nuts.
And Miss Gilbert. From Mrs. H. Friedrichson of Los Angeles, California, an exclamation. The pooch has a fever.
Hot dog.
Hot dog. Thank you, members, and thank you, Mr. Cerf, for attending our meeting tonight. Bennett, come back again soon. We'd love to have you. Thank you, listening friends, for being with us. We hope you enjoyed our brand new game. We'd like you to be with us again next week at this same time when transcribed we'll have Mr. Frederick Lewis Allen rejoining us together with Miss Gilmer and Mr. Hill. And as our special guest, we'll be very happy to welcome a beautiful and brilliant luminary from the entertainment and literary world, Miss Gypsy Rose Lee.
And, of course, on board to wield the gavel over the destinies of the stories and guesses will be Cliché Club President Walter Kiernan.
I want to see what Miss Lee does with the short takes. Thank you, Recording Secretary Les Griffith, and so, friends and members, until next week at this time... The Cliché Club stands adjourned.
Cliché Club is produced by David Yellen. George Wiest is our director, and story editor is Vera Lawrence. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.